Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so excited to share the message of God's unconditional love, mercy and grace with you in the area of faith. In the previous broadcast, we came to this conclusion that faith is not something you do. Faith is something that happens to you because of what Jesus has done. Let me repeat that again. Faith is not something you do. It's something that happens to you because of what Jesus has done. If you can only just hear what He has done. Faith is not this work that we must do all the time to try and get God to be happy. So many times we said, well, we're not under the law anymore. We don't have to obey commandments to get God to do something. It is by grace. And we know we've been saved by faith. Faith is that which activates all the things in the kingdom of God. And that's what we've learned. And what we thought was that we take the word of God, we take the promises of God, we take our own faith, and we apply it to the promises of God, and then those promises will manifest in our lives. Now that is not the way faith works. You might say, but how does it work then? Well, if you are the person who asked that, you're the right one watching this broadcast. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe that and trust that you'll get a revelation in this area, because it will bring so much peace to your heart. It will bring such a strong faith into your life that you will just see the faith of God manifesting in your life. Hallelujah. So many times when it comes to faith, we've made ourselves tired. Like I said, we take our faith, we want to apply our faith to the promises, and then that promises will start to work because of our faith applied to the promises. It sounds just like the law. We'll see the promises of God, we'll use our deeds, we'll obey the promises, and then it will manifest. It's just the law under the name of faith, if you think the way that I've just explained. God wants you to know when it comes to faith that you can rest. And I want to read the foundation scripture quickly in Matthew 28 that we're going to use on faith for this whole series. It says this, Matthew 11:28, "But come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That word where it says in verse 28, which is, "Come unto me all you that labor," that word labor means that works hard, that toils hard. And then it says there, "and are heavy laden." That means that are overburdened with the practicalities of ministry, with the practicalities of religion. So when we come and we look at religion, talking about the Christian faith, and the practical thing that we must do all the time to get this to operate, the context of that is especially with the Jews, where they had to do all these rituals, all these ceremonies. It means to be tired of ceremony, to be overburdened with that. And how many times is faith just a part of a ceremony we go through before we are blessed? We know we're first going to believe right, then God's going to bless us. And that is because of that, we've got a wrong perspective of faith. And I just want to say this. If we have got a law mentality and we take the law mentality and we want to make a study on faith, you're never going to see what it truly is. Remember what 2 Corinthians says. If you are under the law, you are wearing a veil. And the God of this world will blind you. And like I've just seen so many times over the years. I remember when the first time I studied out 2 Corinthians chapter 4 a couple of years ago, I realized, man, this whole thing about the God of this world cannot be the devil. It is the law system. It blinds people. They cannot see because of the law. There's a veil over their faces. And through that veil you cannot see properly, because what your eyesight is veiled. And what the veil also does is, there's a veil upon your heart. You cannot believe. And the glory that's in you cannot be seen. The whole thing about the veil was that the glory that's in you cannot be seen. So if you are filled with Jesus Christ, if you've got the glory of God inside you, you know what's going to happen the moment you get under the law? That glory will not be seen anymore. So let's not be blinded by do's and don'ts. Let's not be blinded by the old way of thinking concerning faith. Let's just take my own effort and confess right, believe right. You know, it will work for certain people. The strong-willed people. The people that will, even if they were not saved, make a success out of business and out of... It's just a strong will. It works for them. But what about the guy that is not strong-willed? What about the guy that just cannot do it out of himself? How will there ever be salvation for him? I've got good news for you. There's salvation for everybody because Jesus Christ, He came and on your behalf, He did everything. Hallelujah. By His faith we enter in. By His faith we live. The only thing is we must tap into His faith. And how do we get that right? So, and that's what we're going to talk on today. But remember this, we are not supposed to become tired believing. Because if you become tired of anything you do concerning Christianity, it's part of the law. The good news doesn't make you tired, it energizes you. So many times we just say, and I've seen so many times people send me SMSs that listen to the program, you just feel tired. And the reason you feel tired is because you're working, you're toiling, you're not in the rest. So we're going to talk about getting into the rest, what it truly is and how God wants you to function. Let's get into Hebrews chapter 11 and we're going to start to discuss faith. Verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith." Now we must know that there's no other way for the just to live. The moment you get born again, you become just or justified, just as if I've never sinned. That from that day, you'll have to live by faith. Now, so many times when I talk to people about faith, you can just see in their eyes and in my own life. You know, when you put the word, say the word faith, it's like something that's in the air, this thing I cannot see, and it's so difficult. It's how will I see? I cannot see anything. How can it happen? Faith is actually such a difficult thing. It's, I don't see anything, but I just trust something's going to happen out of nowhere, and then it's going to happen, and hallelujah, I've had faith. It's like this magical thing that I've got to just pull out of the hat, and then voila, all things are going to manifest because of this magical emotion I have all of a sudden. Now, that is not faith. That is something, I don't know what that is, but that's not faith, not according to the Bible. The just shall have their life by faith. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me read verse 1 and 6 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of the things not seen. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, in these two scriptures, there are three words that stand out for me. It's the word faith, the word hope, and the word believe. Now, there's a great difference between faith, hope, and belief. Belief and faith, I always thought it was the same thing. And even in the Greek, the word is so close to each other. And there's some places in the Bible where it's interchangeable. But most of the time, it's not interchangeable. There's two different meanings for faith and belief. Now, the word faith in the Greek is the word persuasion. And if you take it deeper into the root word, it literally means this. It's persuasion because of an argument. And that persuasion to the degree that it influences your will. Now let me put it straight. Faith is to be persuaded of a certain argument to the extent that it influences your will. Now let's read Hebrews 11 verse 1 again. Now, the persuasion about a certain argument that comes into your life to the point that it influences your will, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Now, I've so many times looked at the word evidence. I've looked at the word substance, and it was just this mystical thing. But there's nothing mystical about that. It's actually plain forward. What he says in the scripture is, faith will manifest the supernatural. As easy as that. Through faith, it will manifest. But faith is something that comes into your life, something that happens to you when you are persuaded of something else because of a certain argument. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to just explain that. And it's just going to make so much sense to you. Now, the moment this came to my life, it became easy to know what faith is. Romans chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 9. Now, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 17 again. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you look at Hebrews 11, the definition of faith, it says it is a certain it's a persuasion that's so strong in your life that it influences your will because of a certain reasoning that's in your mind. Now it says faith, that persuasion comes by the word of God. Now the word of God, the word in Romans 10 verse 17 is the word logos, which means a reasoning or a computation. Now if we don't know what God's reasoning is, we will never have God's faith. If I've got a certain reasoning about life, and I take that reasoning and I teach it to my son will have the same reasoning and he'll have the same belief. He'll believe the same, he'll faith the same, he'll be persuaded of what I'm persuaded of. That's it. I remember when I was still a child, there would be some children at the school that will tease me, or someone will say something bad about me. And you know what my mom said to me? And this was her persuasion. She said, "You don't listen to mad people." That's it. And that stuck into my heart. That is part of her reasoning. When somebody says something to you that's not good, he's mad. Because God says good things about you. And when God says good things about you, that's reality. And if you do things that can make others not see good in you, it's just because they are just deceived because of your wrong deeds. But God's perspective is reality. And that is her reasoning. And that reasoning was deposited into me. And I have got the same persuasion as what my mom has in that area of life. Now, if I've got the same persuasion as my mom, it means that what she believes, what she faiths, her faith is in me because her reasoning is in me. That's why the Bible says, and we're still going to get into that, but I want to touch on that, in Mark 11, it says, have the faith of God. It doesn't say have faith in God, it says have the faith of God. Now, how are you going to have the faith of God if you don't have the reasoning of God? You need a reason like God. You need to think like God. His reality and basis of reality must be your basis of reality. That's why it's so important to know God's Word. Not just the Bible, people. And you must settle this in your heart for always. And I've had people that's been upset with me saying this, but I don't care. This is the Bible that contains God's Word. Out of this Bible, I can read a scripture in different ways. Here was the Pharisees. The woman was caught in the act of adultery. What did they say? They said, Moses says we should stone her. But what do you say? Now remember, Jesus was called the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what was actually said there was, the law says, or the Bible says, This woman must be stoned. It's written in the Bible, she must be stoned. But what is the word of God over this woman? And the correct interpretation of Scripture, if they could see the heart of God in the Scriptures, they would just say, we forgive you. I don't condemn you. So there's a difference between the letter and the word. The letter is written and the word is contained in that scriptures. So if we can see the word, God's computation, God's reasoning, it will produce life in us and we'll have the faith of God and people will be set free and delivered by what God has done. Jesus Christ had God's reasoning. Do you believe that Jesus had the faith of God? Of course he had the faith of God. Why? Because he was persuaded of in the same way that God is persuaded. And the way he was persuaded was by thinking what God thinks, hearing how God thinks about things. When that woman was caught in the act of adultery and Jesus had to speak to her, he had to speak the word, he just, because he was thinking the way God was thinking. What God was thinking was, you are judging her, but you're doing the same thing, you Pharisees. So he said, you that are without sin, throw the first stone. The meditation of God was, the whole world is full of sin because of Adam. That was God's meditation. And God's meditation was that the whole world will be delivered because of one man, Jesus Christ. And they are not condemned because of Jesus. That's God's reasoning. And when Jesus tapped into the reasoning of God, hallelujah, life changed. Everything changed. The whole world changed. One man's influence. Just one man's influence changed the whole world forever. Let's just read that scripture again. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. Persuasion is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, being persuaded by having the same reasoning as God to the point that it influences your will is the substance. Another word for substance is the word foundation. It's out of two Greek words, meaning the setting under, putting under. So the foundation of the things that you hope for. The word hope is the word confident expectation. To expect something, you hope for something. And just by the way, the hope of the church is to have a resurrected body, to have a glorified physical body. That's the hope we have. We're expecting the return of the Lord and we're expecting a resurrected body, a glorified body as His body is. And why can we expect that? Because the Bible says, and I just feel maybe I'm a little bit off the topic here, but I want to say this because we must have clarity in this. We're expecting the return of the Lord. But when we see what He has done, when we get His reasoning in us, that reasoning is a foundation which brings stability to what we expect of Him. If my reasoning is like this, by His stripes I am healed. He was completely healed. He was completely perfect when He was in heaven. He came to earth. He took my infirmities upon Him so that I, through His stripes, can be healed. What am I expecting? I'm expecting healing, isn't it? When I see Him being resurrected from the grave, from the dead, out of the grave, into heaven, what do I expect? I am raised with Him. And what do I expect when I see His glorified body? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. That's just a, you know what I want to say. I expect that as well. When I see Him living forever, what do I expect out of what He's done? I don't expect death. I expect life. Thank you, Jesus. That is the man, that is this whole thing in the simplest way you can find it. Because of what He's done, I receive. He was rich, He was made poor, so that I through His poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. Now He was immortal, He became mortal, so that I through what He's done can have received what? Immortality, life eternal. That's what I can receive from Him. And like Paul said, I want to be delivered from the flesh. I want to be delivered from the body of death. He says the last enemy to be conquered is death. And then he speaks about death in the physical body. How will that be conquered? By Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So the principle, now I know I've been a bit off the topic there, but I think it's a practical explanation of this. Now let's get into Hebrews 11 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now being persuaded because of God's reasoning that indwells my mind. Being persuaded of the word. What is the word? The Greek word for word is the word logos, which means a computation or a reasoning that's placed into words. If I say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, the words that I use is apples and trees. But the word, the reasoning is, this child is just like the father or the mother. That's what I'm actually saying. Now the word logos is the saying, the idea, the reasoning, the computation that is placed into words. Now, when I take the logos and it comes into my mind, I start to think like God. I start to meditate like God. Faith is something that starts to happen to you. You start to become persuaded. The moment you become persuaded, it's just something that happens. You just, emotions start to flow out of that. Willpower starts to change. Everything starts to change. I remember a couple of years ago when that Y2K thing came in, there were people that just took all their money and made it gold. People went into the shops, they bought the shops empty, man. It was this massive thing. I remember I came to this one friend of mine's house, it was just food everywhere. I said to him, brother, what's going on? He said to me, no, you know, we don't know, we might run out of electricity or out of food. I mean, as if that food he's got there would be enough. And you know what happened? Nothing. God just blessed the nation. That's it. Just typical to who He is. He blessed the nation. Now, because of the word of fear that came, people started to do funny things. The word they heard brought something into them. It brought fear, which is the negative of faith. It brought fear into their lives, that word. The fear was something that happened to them because of what they heard. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. It says persuasion, hearing the word, the persuasion that comes that influences your will by listening to the good news, the message of God's unconditional love, mercy and grace, what He has done. God's reasoning made simple is this. Through one man, sin entered into the world. That man was called Adam. And through one man's obedience, righteousness came into the world. Let's read that quickly in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. This is just going to bless you. We must have God's reasoning. We must know how He thinks. If we can think the way He thinks, we will be persuaded as He's persuaded, and we'll have His faith. And guess what? The faith of God works. Hallelujah. The real thing works, and to have the real thing is easier than having the negative thing. You know, when you believe something negative, it's because of a negative word. It just comes naturally. In the same way, just as easy as what it is to have fear, just as easy, even easier, because fear is just a normal, natural thing, but the faith part has got the Holy Spirit behind it, inspiring you, working supernaturally in you. It's easier to have faith than what it is to have fear. Thank you, Jesus. You might say, Bertie, but you're confused, man. On what planet do you live? I live on planet Earth with God Almighty in me. Thank you, Jesus. And the same with you. So get into God's reality. Thank you. I'm challenging you. Get into that. That's what God wants for you. Romans chapter 5 from verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, which is the Holy Spirit, which is grace, came upon all men unto justification. It says all men. What's God's reasoning? Through the sin of one, through the offense of one, death reigned, but through the obedience of one. As of the... Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came unto condemnation. So by the righteousness of one. God's reasoning is by one. Not by many, as by one. So God's reality, the way He thinks, His computation that influences His will towards people is this. One man obeyed, therefore all has been justified. Let's read verse 19. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Isn't that powerful? So God knows by the obedience of one you'll be made righteous. If you can have the same reasoning, that's what's going to manifest in your life. Because that's what you're going to be open to. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Let's read the scripture once more. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let's get God's reasoning into our lives, man. Do you know that the Bible says, first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all shall be added? Do you know why? Because God actually says there, first seek this reasoning, because out of this all things will be added unto you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person that's listening to my voice. I say, be blessed. Have the computation of God and walk in His persuasion by listening to the unconditional love of God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.